We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. WynnBET is now live in all these states, and the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas has finally landed in online sports betting and casino play. From boosted parlays to live in-game betting odds on every major sport, WynnBET gives you the tools to win. Sign up today for your risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com to start winning.
Mahomes has the time, delivers perfectly downfield, touchdown! Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
This one, Adams, touchdown!
This time going deep for Beckham Jr.
Hello everyone, welcome back to RotoViz Overtime on RotoViz Radio. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland, joined by Sean Siegel, co-host of the RotoViz Overtime podcast. Sean, we are on Saturday. We are ready for week 6 of the NFL. We have the first week of byes coming up here, so make sure you get those lineups set. Make sure you don't have any inactives or people on byes in those bye weeks. We did touch on a lot of good stuff this week. If the listeners haven't checked out the Tuesday or Thursday show, head back and listen to them. It was episode 300 this past Thursday. I had a question that popped up when I was thinking about the bye weeks, and last week was the first London game of the year, and obviously we've joked in the past about time zones and setting up the podcast and doing it in an Eastern Standard Time, and me being in Ireland, you being on the Pacific kind of time zone. The UK games, I thought of this on Sunday. I was like, man, this game's at 2:30 my time. I'm like, that's pretty early. And then I was thinking, well, Sean's 8 hours different. So I would imagine you skip the London games, or do you ever partake in those?
It's mostly a skip for me. It always depends a little bit on whether you're an early bird or a night owl. Ben and I chat on our show about how I tend to burn the midnight oil a little bit more. I'll be sending column emails, and I mean, he's trying to figure out how I can still be awake because it's the middle of the night. My time, I think every once in a while, I'm still up and Ben is already waking up. So Ben kind of covers the early game for us there. I try and record that and watch as much as possible later. But between the time and the fact that there are so many lineups to check through kind of in that pre-game window, my focus is more on the lineups at that juncture. We did have kind of a fun game there. It would have been great if the Jets had gotten off to a faster start. But, you know, some plays from Michael Carter. And even though Elijah Moore didn't really do much in the box score, he does create the pass interference that sets up their late touchdown to make the game close. A column, this game was mostly famous for being the breakout of Kyle Pitts without Calvin Ridley to draw targets. He was the main guy there. A little bit surprising in its own way that the Jets didn't make even more of an effort to take him out of the game, but he looked good. If we were able to make it through the first month, and this I think was always to an extent going to be the issue. We've talked about a lot of guys where we were sort of pointing to the second half of the season, and it probably sounds a little bit strange to say, okay, well, we were willing to draft Saquon Barkley for the second half, or, you know, hopefully the final three quarters, hopefully it's not the full second half, you know, in the 1-2 turn but you know, more skepticism maybe for Pitts in round three, pointing for the second half. But in this situation, if you were able to get through the first month, not take a lot of tight end points, and granted, a lot of other teams are not getting a lot of tight end points either, but you don't have that third round pick doing much for you in the lineup. A lot of the teams that don't get a lot of tight end points, at least they drafted those guys later. But now if you were able to stay alive, then you've got to be very excited about how your tight end position looks as you go through the rest of the season.
So Sean, when we were talking, I was just doing some calculation regarding, I know there's always jokes going around with the games that get sent over to the UK, but I was just looking, I think the combined win-loss record between the four teams after week five is 4-13. So the games tend to not work out the best, I think, that are sent over. So we'll see what happens next year. Four teams, 4-13 record overall, but hopefully it will be interesting. But yeah, I think on Sunday mornings, it's definitely an early start if you want to watch them over on the West Coast. But Sean, diving into today's show, we're going to look a little bit into the Zero RB report. It's been fantastic to read through that up on the website this season, as always. It's, you know, it's one of my go-to pieces. But when we look through the running backs, everything that's happened in week five, is there anything particular, any player that maybe stood out more so than maybe creeping under the radar for some of the listeners?
Well, the main thing that is kind of crazy is just, you know, almost this contrast between the Cleveland Browns and the Denver Broncos in terms of being able to deploy these fantastic running backs. Now, I mean, Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, they might be two of the six best running backs. And, you know, that's saying something at this point, right? And this is a sort of a golden age right here in terms of the quality of the top guys. And so for them to have two of them and to be able to use them the way that they are, it's just kind of crazy. So you need to have both star talent there. You need to have, you know, some ability in the passing game to keep defenses honest. You need to have a strong offensive line. The part about it that's a little bit surprising is that we know that Baker Mayfield is not completely healthy. He hasn't been particularly accurate. That really showed up in week four, where he had a terrible game. You know, not as much of a problem here in week five. But right now, Chubb is number one. Kareem Hunt is number two in terms of fantasy points over expectation as rushers, right? And so you look at this and they're outperforming their volume by such a wide margin. Now, in terms of total expected points, they rate number 15 and number 16. They're both easy running back ones. You've got this a little bit of a question. If you have them on your dynasty teams, or if you drafted them and are now thinking, okay, well, they've even outperformed what I was hoping, you know, should I sell a little bit? They've had the seventh easiest schedule through 5 weeks. They have the 10th hardest remaining. It's not like, and we have to understand what we're looking at here. It's not like they had the number one schedule and about to go to number 32. In some ways, that was almost what we were dealing with last year in reverse with David Montgomery, when we said, look, you guys have to pick him up, even though he has not looked good. The situation is just too amazing. I don't think it's that in reverse. I don't think it's a must sell, again, because one of the things that we're looking at is talent is just so important. The thing that jumps out in this entire week and in this article, two of the other headliners, not surprisingly, are Derrick Henry there with the Titans, Austin Eckler with the Chargers. So Colin, one of the things that Ben and I had just hammered over and over and over, and you and I have been talking about for years, but is this idea of, you want to chase talent. Don't get so caught up in the projections that you miss on that. When I look at really any of the players that I wish that I had been higher on, or I wish I had more shares of, it never comes down to people who aren't talented, right? I mean, you look at Derrick Henry and say, okay, well, he doesn't have the profile that fits with his draft slot. You look at Austin Eckler and you say, well, he doesn't have the profile that fits with his draft slot. Well, Derrick Henry right now is number one. So we look at the first 5 weeks of the season, all players this century. You pull out the RotoViz screener, it's a really cool tool for this. Henry, number one in attempts, number two in yards behind DeMarco Murray, tied for sixth in touchdowns. That puts him second to Priest Holmes in terms of fantasy points exclusively as a rusher. Now, we know, again, that still a lot of these guys bring out more points as a receiver. Even with Derrick Henry scoring 27 points a game through the first 5 weeks, you know, there are plenty of guys in a five-week sample who are above that because they bring the receiving value. But you, I mean, you ask anybody, I mean, 27 points is well above the level that we're looking for, right? I mean, we're looking for guys who could have expected points in the 20 range and then in a season where they really blow up, because, you know, the talent is going to manifest sometimes in seasons where there's just so much volume that you can't really maintain efficiency beyond that. Sometimes you are able, because you're so good, to put the efficiency numbers beyond. So, you know, we're kind of hoping for the season that's 20 expected points and then 4 fantasy points over expectation. You get into that 24 range. Well, I mean, Derrick Henry's 3 points above that. So, you know, we're looking at what he's doing, the combination of crazy volume and efficiency. And then you look at Austin Eckler. One of the things I mentioned in his category is that he's averaging more than 4 points just as a receiver, more than 4 points above expectation. And to give an idea of just how crazy that would be for the full year, that's very similar to his 2019 campaign, where he had the best receiving FPOE numbers for any back in the last 5 seasons. And there's hardly anybody who's anywhere close. Again, so one of the things that we see with Alvin Kamara are these crazy efficiency numbers. You know, we're seeing it now with Austin Eckler. We're seeing it not just the once in 2019, but for a second time. And so when you look at the idea of selling players like Henry, like Eckler, like Chubb, one of the things that you have to make sure that you do, even if the schedule gets harder, which is also the case for Henry, is that don't just assume that they're going to be an average player, because they definitely are not. So even if you have some regression, which, you know, they're at such crazy levels right now, you have to have that, they're still going to be very good. They're likely to still outperform their volume, even though, you know, again, any, you know, 5 week sample, you could have 1 5 weeks that's very much above, the next 5 very much below. But the fact that we continually see these guys who are very good outperform in these particular metrics that are so directly tied to fantasy scoring, which is what we care about, that means something to me here. So there's a lot of interesting context to look at for these guys, and we've got some great tools to help you do that. Connor has been writing a cool article. He's the author for the Buy Low Machine type of piece this season. Make sure you check out his work. Again, longtime listeners know that there have been some situations in the past where we call it the strength of schedule streamer right now. You know, Frank originally called it the Buy Low Machine. You know, both terms are very accurate in terms of describing, you know, what it will do for you. There are some big opportunities if you understand the schedule of these players. We just want to make sure we also are putting that in the bigger context of talent also mattering.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
We have touched on him a lot, Sean, so I think we'll skip by it today. But Zach Moss continues to, you know, kind of pop in all those top 10 charts in terms of the receiving, rushing, and expected points. But somebody who, You mentioned the Broncos and the Browns and the difference in how those offenses are running. The Broncos kind of struggling to sustain those drives, but Javonte Williams and his opportunities has looked pretty good. He does jump up in both of these in terms of rushing and receiving opportunities for week five. We talked about him quite a bit in the offseason. We didn't talk about him that much so far through those opening kind of 5 weeks. How do you feel about Javonte Williams as we move forward here and his opportunity? Do you think it's just mainly the offense is going to hold him back in terms of the kind of the weighted opportunities that he gets in the red zone? The team just isn't really getting to the red zone enough.
Yeah, well, I mean, Colin, what do you think here? We have Williams over the last couple of weeks. He ranks number one in evasion rate. He ranks number one in yards after contact per attempt. You can go into the Advanced Stats Explorer and check out all of those fun numbers. It gives you a sense of, you know, descriptively how those players are performing. I mean, you can see these things watching the games. It really jumps out on the screen, but it's cool to be able to go in and kind of back that up, confirm it with the stats to see, yeah, what. You know, we all watch the game with a little bit of a biased lens. The guys that we think are good, if they get stopped in the backfield, like, well, the blocking broke down when they break a 40-yard run. It's like, oh, they made a guy miss and they got to the hole and then they, you know, really showed off the burst. And, you know, vice versa, where if, you know, Joe Mixon gets tackled in the backfield, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, he's slow. He can't beat guys. He doesn't break tackles. You know, he's not going to run through anybody. So, of course, if there was penetration, he got tackled. And then if he breaks one off, it's like, oh, well, I mean, he had a hole the size of three trucks to run through. Of course he ran through. Anybody could jog through that. So we know that we're watching the games with bias. So it can be cool to go in and check out some of these numbers, see what the guys are actually doing. The weird thing for me is that to an extent, you might say the Broncos still have some more talent, even with all the injuries, than the Browns have in the passing game. You know, maybe they could keep some guys on Cortland Sutton, this huge number of air yards. And we saw him break out for the 39-yard score toward the end of that game to really give him another strong fantasy performance. Colin, you were, just as long as we're on that topic for a second, you were really pushing for Sutton at different times when we were drafting. He's definitely one of the guys where if we had more Sutton, we'd be doing better. You had a number of guys like that this season. I just feel like you had a great offseason in terms of player evaluation. So I wanted to throw that out there. The Broncos have the sixth best schedule remaining for running backs, and Jerry Jeudy at some point hopefully will be back. This could be an offense that's not that bad in the second half of the season. We know that Williams was rising so fast on, you know, in the last couple of weeks of fantasy, going from, you know, sort of a late fifth round pick to you would see him go in round two sometimes, which, you know, is kind of crazy to think based on the situation, at least to start the season. We always talk about how, you know, don't emphasize situation to where it hurts you, but you also have to understand price. And so the price just really didn't work out at that point. He was on the first zero RB list because he was at that 5-6 turn, which is more where we consider the beginning of, you know, if you don't want to go with a strong zero RB, you could get him there. Where are we now that, if anything, I mean, he's been exactly as advertised when he touches the ball, but he doesn't touch the ball that often. And like you said, there haven't been a lot of great high value opportunities. When there were a couple of those, maybe those were the one time when he didn't look that good. He has the sort of infamous fumble down at the goal line several weeks ago. Javonte Williams, somebody you're going out and trying to trade. I mean, in Dynasty, it still seems straightforward. Are you trying to trade for Javonte Williams in redraft as well?
Yeah, I would be trying to get him on the rosters. And we touched on this in the offseason too, in terms of, you know, looking at different backfields and how things might shake out. We did kind of think that Melvin Gordon was a lot better last year than people were talking about. So it might have took a little bit of time, and we are now into week six. Gordon still looks pretty good, but I do think Williams should now continue to get more and more work in this backfield. I don't have a huge amount of confidence that that is the way it's going to happen, but I still think that he's going to continue to show how explosive he is and how good he looks. Each and every time I see him touch the ball, he's kind of exactly, like you mentioned, what we thought was advertised. The biggest problem with the offense, I think, like you touched on some of the deep shots last week that went the way of Cortland Sutton. But what we're seeing in this offense is either quite big chunk plays to wide receivers, or else we're kind of getting bogged down in the red zone and settling for field goals. The offense is kind of, I don't know, it's a mismatch. It's not really doing much consistency. We're getting, you know, some plays here, some plays there. This might work, this won't work. but both running backs have looked quite good. So for me, Williams is more of a dynasty asset to acquire still, but you know, I think we're going to see the Broncos probably continue to split that backfield, but I think 2021 might just be a little bit tricky to have Javonte Williams, you know, continue to break out more than we want based on the usage. For example, we talk about Derrick Henry and the usage in the passing game. We're just not really getting that volume there. The offense is, you know, quite happy to slowly go down the field and you know, try and keep it nice and close. And that's just not going to work out for the Broncos this year. I think they need to be a bit more aggressive. We're talking about other offenses on recent shows being aggressive, even the Lions, who are an 0-5, and it's not working out for them, but they're being aggressive. And we've seen it with the Chargers as well. I think the Broncos are quite happy to not be overly aggressive. And unfortunately, as much as I kind of stand up for Teddy Bridgewater at times, that's kind of what you get when he's in charge of that offense overall. So I can see exactly why you wanted Aaron Rodgers to be quarterback in this offense in the offseason, Sean. But I really like what he's showing. It's just that, a bit like I touched on with Jonathan Taylor, if any of the Broncos play callers are listening, give him the ball and give him the ball more. That's what we need for Javonte Williams and Jonathan Taylor. But we'll see how that plays out over the coming weeks. Sean, the other player that I wanted to pick up that is showing up here in terms of the opportunities is James Robinson. Now, only one target this past week. And again, people are probably wondering, they're always talking about targets. They're always talking about working the receiving game. It just adds so much value. The targets are worth more than the rushing opportunities. But James Robinson, as a rookie, came in, done better than anyone could possibly probably expect, had a phenomenal rookie campaign. Then they drafted Travis Etienne, which obviously knocked his value down a little bit. Unfortunately, Etienne got injured, but James Robinson so far this season has looked really good. And this past week, 18 carries for him, so 19 total opportunities. Pretty big day for him. But this offense, like, there's just so many question marks. You know, me and you both love Chenault, talked a lot about it in the offseason. Looked like on Thursday Night Football, the offense might be starting to look a bit more towards him. Definitely didn't look more towards him in week five. So there's lots of question marks going around pretty much everything. The coaching staff, I think they have, you know, Lawrence makes some incredible throws, but there's obviously challenges with being a rookie quarterback as well. But Robinson's looking pretty good, but just not getting as much usage in the passing game than he did last year.
Well, we had a game here where he unfortunately wasn't as involved there. I think sometimes you're looking at a total number of opportunities where coaches are trying to keep it to a certain level. And then they did have the situation late where most of those plays have to be passes and they didn't deploy him in that stretch, which was unfortunate in its own way. Yeah, I mean, he looked very good, right? 18 carries, 149 yards, a touchdown. He has the long, I believe, 58-yard run in that game. Now, you can look at that one of two ways. Even if he removed that 58-yard run, he has a very good line. It's great to see that big run because it reminds you, okay, well, he could break off the big play. And the big plays are just, again, so important. We know they're not going to happen every week, but the potential for them to happen occasionally, you know, that's an extra touchdown worth of scoring right there. To be able to do that on one play that was a low-value touch, you know, you want those guys in your lineup on your roster. Robinson doesn't have the athleticism to do that, you know, like a Jamal Charles or a Chris Johnson, you know, that type of player. But it's good to see. It reinforces just how talented he is. And then we see the slashing ability. We see the cutting ability. We see the vision. We see the power just, you know, consistently play to play. I mentioned in the Monday article that they did have the fourth down carry at the goal line when they're trailing 31-19 sort of early in the fourth quarter. If they score, then, you know, suddenly this is a very competitive game, which is really not how it felt after the play. They use Carlos Hyde on that play. I kind of talked earlier in the show about how we see everything through our normal biases, and, you know, we need to be aware of those. But it's kind of one of these plays where there was defensive penetration. Hyde takes the carry. He looks at those guys and basically it's just like, well, you know, I'm done. There's nothing I can do here. And more or less, I mean, he takes a couple steps forward and then, you know, takes a couple steps back and sits down as they tackle him. It's probably unfair to think that anybody scores there, you know, but a Barry Sanders has a better chance. And so your question is, well, does a James Robinson have a better chance? I think that he probably does. you know, you make one hard cut, you hit the guys hard, you know, maybe one of the defenders doesn't get a clean shot at you, you bounce off, you push forward some more. We talk a lot about so much of running back production being interchangeable, but I mean, that's it. And this is one of the things that some of the reality teams will say from time to time when they draft a running back in the first round. I mean, they're almost offended. They're like, I mean, you're telling us we can't draft a running back in the first round as though there's no difference in talent. And you're like, you know, look at some of the people drafted there, right? I mean, Christian McCaffrey, top 10 pick, you know, Saquon Barkley, top 10 pick. The idea that those are just any other guys, so they don't matter, would be silly. One of the things we're trying to emphasize is just how low value running back touches are in football overall from a reality perspective. And, you know, you get plenty of guys late like an Alvin Kamara, but you get players like that at all positions. So basically the thing is still that makes sense. And yet at the same time, you don't want to overstate some of these conclusions that are true, because once you start to overstate something, then people will push back because they know that now you're not telling them the truth. Anyway, that's a little bit of an aside, but the idea here with James Robinson, I think, is that, I mean, he's a good player, right? And so, again, I would kind of throw this to you and ask for our listeners who have Robinson. I assume that a lot of them do. We liked Robinson going into last season, and then obviously once it became clear that he was going to be the starter, pushed hard for him. So I assume that the share percentage for our listeners is higher than normal on Robinson in Dynasty. What would you be doing after a game like this, where this is going to be one of his better games of the season? You're going to have some games with more receptions, but you're not going to have too many games, even with him, where you have 149 yards and a touchdown. This would appear to be a sell high opportunity, or at least a good sell window. I mean, he's going to be at full value here. Should people be trying to unload him, knowing that this team is in disarray, and also knowing that almost regardless of how good he is this season, that Travis Etienne is going to step on the value next year?
Yeah, I think there's a sell window here. Now, in terms of what I think, like if we look at how the season started, he was getting more targets than rush attempts, but the last 3 weeks, he's had at least 15 rush attempts, 18 both the last 2 weeks, a touchdown in every game, two touchdowns against Cincinnati 2 weeks ago. So he's been very, very consistent. I think, though, you mentioned about this kind of been probably his best game of the season. You know, we could potentially take, you know, 50 of those yards off, but if we can get four receptions, we can start to balance that out. So I do think there'll be other big games. Just looking at their schedule, they have the Dolphins coming up, then they have a bye. So I do think there's an opportunity to move away from that if you wanted to get out from James Robinson looking ahead. It can be very tough to do that at this exact point in time, but based on where the value was in August and based on where the value is going to be come January when people start to talk about Travis Etienne coming back, I think there's definitely an opportunity here. But I do think if he was somebody drafted in the first round, the thought process around him would be much, much different. Obviously, coming in undrafted, I think that kind of undervalues him a little bit just from perception side of things. But I still think that he looks really, really good. And if you were asking me what I could do to you know, add to his value, I think we would change the coach and staff in Jacksonville. But I still think there's upside there. The one thing about it that's tricky is that he is so young, and then obviously the rookie coming in who will be in his second year next year, it's unlikely that he moves on over the next year or so. So it will be a split in that backfield. But I think Robinson's a fantastically talented player. I would be finding it very hard to move on, but I think you're making a smart point there where this could be that opportunity to do so based on how things were a couple of months back and how they're going to be a couple of months forward. So if you have the opportunity to do that, I think I would go ahead and dynasty and move on. In that scenario, we are getting towards the end of today's show, Sean. It is the end of our kind of week six programming here, but I did want to point out in this article we looked through, the Zero RB report, it is up on rotoviz.com. I named the show on Tuesday, Jonathan Taylor is the best running back in the NFL. The end of the article, Sean has mentioned, is Jonathan Taylor the best, and in brackets, healthy RB. I think we could have just put Christian McCaffrey in brackets there if you wanted. But yeah, it's amazing how quickly somebody misses a week or two and you forget that they even exist. But yeah, it'll be interesting when McCaffrey's back in there. I think they're both very, very close, obviously. But in the mix now is Jonathan Taylor. But we are at the end of the week. I mentioned it was episode 300 this week. If you haven't checked it out, head back to listen to Tuesday and Thursday show. Lots of good stuff covered there. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Hopefully you have a good week six. Go get those wins and keep moving yourself up the rankings in your leagues. So best of luck with that. If you want to sign up to get some tools and access to those tools that may help you this weekend set those lineups and make those decisions, you can get yourself a 10% discount to a RotoViz NFL pass by adding the code RVRadio2021 at checkout, or going to rotoviz.com/podcast for additional information. Drop us a written review on your favorite podcast app. And of course, I did plug listening to our RotoViz Overtime podcast shows over the last couple of days. Make sure you check out Stealing Bananas as well with Sean, where you'll be able to hear him discuss with Ben Gretsch. And of course, they will also have the Sunday night recap show, which does drop early morning Eastern Standard Time each and every Monday. So make sure you subscribe to their feed as well to get that once it comes out. It's always great to get that information bright and early on a Monday morning from Sean and Ben. So subscribe to that. My name is Colm Kelly. You can follow me on Twitter at Overtime Ireland. My co-host is Sean Siegel. Check out Sean's work up on rotoviz.com. Until we're back next week, have a good one. Thank you for listening to Overtime on RotoViz Radio. Please rate and review the RotoViz Radio podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You can contact us via email at rotovizradio@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at RotoViz Radio. And remember, you can always support the pod by subscribing to RotoViz with a discount through the RotoViz Radio homepage, rotoviz.com/podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.